reading through. One, two, one, two. One, two, one, two. Okay, we're safe. Good morning, beautiful people of God. You're listening to Sunrise with Shona on the Mighty Heart 1027. Yeah, before Rob runs in here. Good morning, beautiful people of God. You're listening to Sunrise with Shona on the Mighty Heart 1027, and it is good to be with you on this chilly Sunday morning. Today is the first Sunday after Pentecost. We call it Trinity Sunday, and we celebrate the union of God and people and of all creation. It's always a difficult one. Many people get tied up in the theology of it and trying to work out the theoretical way in which three persons can be one and yet three distinct persons, but I don't think it should be. Because I just think of my own body. We are one body, many parts. And if we look at it, I've got legs, arms, eyes, ears, a head, a torso. I've got all the internal organs, all different, yet all part of the whole. Good morning, beautiful people of God. You're listening to Sunrise with Shona on the Mighty Heart 1027, and it's great to be with you on this chilly Sunday morning. Today is the first. That was Simon, not my fault, Sam. Good morning, beautiful people of God. You're listening to Sunrise with Shona on the Mighty Heart 1027, and it's great to be with you on this chilly Sunday morning. Today is the first Sunday after Pentecost. We also call it Trinity Sunday, and we celebrate, for me, the union of God and people and of all creation. People think this is a very difficult Sunday, and they say they like to watch the preacher getting tied up in knots, but I think it's because we get too theoretical. I mean, we can use that analogy of water. The chemical symbol of water is H2O, two hydrogens, one oxygen, and it is present in three different forms, steam, ice, and liquid, all the same chemical formula, just different forms. And there are many other different analogies, but I honestly don't struggle with it. I think we just try too hard to give it some sort of theoretical explanation. Because after all are God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all God. Now my thoughts are similar to the Byzantine monk Simeon, who summed up Trinity Sunday's purpose by saying, "The Holy Spirit encompasses humanity and binds us together, influencing the way we relate to God and each other." God is Father, Parent if you prefer, Son, and Holy Spirit. I think that this theme is then reflected in the readings today. We have the Psalm 8, the call to worship, David asking in awe what the purpose of humanity is in relationship to God. How can God have a relationship with us? Why does God want a relationship with us? So it acknowledges the honor bestowed on us. And he says, you know, what are we that you should be mindful of us, God? Then we have Proverbs 8, and I like Proverbs 8. It emphasizes our access to wisdom, personified as a female in Proverbs, and the first of God's creation. And then we have Romans 5, discussing the life-giving, empowering nature of our relationship within the Holy Trinity and the way it directs our life, impacts us, the way in which the Holy Spirit empowers us to live our life here. And of course, John 16, taking us back to the upper room after the Last Supper. And I'm going to look briefly at all of these. Then next week, I want to look at the three persons of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and what that can mean for us in terms of how we need to live in relationship. So in that John 16, we learn how Jesus' farewell discourse prepared the disciples for the confusion they were going to face in the near future, not knowing or understanding that everything was going to be okay. And I think that's why I say it's about relationship. Jesus took the time to try and explain to them because of his love for them, his care for them, his concern for them, and his great compassion. So let's look now at Psalm 8. It's a call to worship, and it makes us aware, or at least it makes me aware, of how small we are in comparison to God, and yet God loves and cares for us. It's a psalm that we believe was written by David. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Do we ever say that to God? I know that I need to say that more often. God, you are amazing. You've set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you've established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you set in place, what is humankind that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them? So there it is. What are we, Lord, that you care for us? Look at the vast expanse of this creation, the universe. And I've said it before, our little Milky Way is 100,000 light years across, and we are one of millions, if not billions, of And we are one of millions of galaxies. David goes on, you've made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You've made them rulers over the works of our hands, over your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds, all the animals of the wild, the birds of the sky, the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the sea. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Isn't that just a wonderful psalm? Right-sizing us, telling us who we are in relationship to God and how privileged we are that God loves and cares for us. So that is also about relationship then. How should we be in that relationship with God? Coming up now on the Mighty Heart 1027, open our eyes, Lord. Open our eyes, Lord, on the Mighty Heart 1027. Good morning. You're listening to Reverend Shona from St. Mark's Anglican Church. And I want to say happy Trinity Sunday. I've looked at the psalm written by David, called to worship, but more importantly for me, looking how amazing it is, what a privilege it is, that God who created this vast expanse of the universe also created one of us, you and I, and cares for us. And loves us, obviously. Interestingly enough, this reading from Proverbs, which comes up now, is about wisdom, wisdom personified as a divine entity, and a female. The chapter presents wisdom as this eternal companion of God in the act of creation, emphasizing that wisdom is accessible and actively seeks to guide people. So one could also say the Holy Spirit is also wisdom, but that's not what this Proverbs is saying. Some have even suggested that the speaker might be relating to Christ, but I want us to just look at it as wisdom. I love this reading, and that's why I'm sharing it. It also reminds us of Genesis. And it reminds us, therefore, that before the world was formed, the Spirit of the Lord hovered over the waters. That's Genesis. Now we're told wisdom was there. And I think when we look at things like the Trinity, but more importantly, when we look at how we have to navigate the challenges of this life, it is important for us to seek the wisdom of God that is there for us. Proverbs 8. Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? At the highest point along the way where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gate leading into the city, at the entrance, she cries out, to you, O people, I call out, I raise my voice to all humankind. The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works, before his deeds of old. I was formed long ago, at the very beginning when the world came to be. So wisdom was formed right in the beginning, one of the first of God's creations, whereas the Spirit was present before anything was created. When there were no watery depths, I was given birth. When there were no springs overflowing with water, before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills, I was given birth. Before he made the world or its fields or any of the dust on the earth, I was there when he set the heavens in place, when he marked out the horizon on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above and fixed securely the fountains of the deep, when he gave the sea its boundaries so the waters would not overstep his command, and when he marked out the foundations of the earth. Then I was constantly at his side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his whole world and delighting in humankind. So now you can understand why I like it, especially verses 30 and 31. God delighting in us, and we should be filled with delight every day because we journey with God and are in God's presence. And we should rejoice with everyone because of the beauty of this world. And as I said, it does remind us then of Genesis 1, although the Spirit was present before anything was formed. And of course, also in John, when we look at John, we have Jesus who was there. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Nothing was formed that didn't come through God. And so we have Jesus, the Spirit, God present before the world began, and wisdom as one of the first created things. Before we look at Paul, I just want to again stress, from the beginning, through the wisdom of God, we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now quickly, let's look at Paul writing to the Romans. He says, peace and hope is what we've called this. It's Romans chapter 5. Therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we've gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And I'm not going into that today. But verse 5, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Listen to that again. God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. I want you to reflect on that promise as you listen to Glorify Thy Name on the Mighty Hot 1027. Glorify Thy Name on the Mighty Hot 1027. Good morning. This is Trinity Sunday. And if you've just joined me, you're listening to Sunrise with Shona, and it's good to be with you. I've looked at Psalm 8 and how it right-sizes us in our relationship with God, how we need to be in awe of the fact that God cares for us when God created this huge universe and is still creating. I've looked at wisdom portrayed as a female in Proverbs 8 and how that was one of God's first creations and is available to us to help us through this life. We've looked briefly at Romans 5, where we are told that God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. I want to move now to the gospel and what we can learn from this. So placing the reading in context, and we go into John 16, Jesus is speaking to his disciples in the upper room. It's just before his crucifixion, the eve of his crucifixion. We could imagine that that room would be dimly lit because they would have oil lamps. You would see all 12 gathered around the simple wooden table, disciples seated on cushions, their expressions a mix of perhaps confusion and concern and not really sure what Jesus is talking about. Peter, Andrew, James, John, all of them present. They followed Jesus faithfully, given up everything to follow him. They've finished sharing a meal. The atmosphere is heavy. And Jesus speaks in this calm and reassuring tone, trying to prepare his beloved friends for the trial that lies ahead. As he speaks about the coming of the Holy Spirit and the guidance that will be given to them, they're obviously going to listen. I don't think they fully understood. In fact, we know they didn't understand everything he was saying. But they had to trust in his wisdom and they had to hang on to his every word. And perhaps later, as they reflected back, they would have understood. And so he says to them, John 16, verse 12, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Now, even that sentence would have got me being curious. He says, when the Spirit of truth comes, the Spirit of truth will guide you into all truth. For the Spirit will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. The Spirit will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So in summary, this verse tells us that Jesus offers us a very special gift, the Holy Spirit. And this gift will help us navigate through the joys and challenges of life and I think lead us into a deeper understanding of the truth. The Holy Spirit for me serves as a guiding light, but also a power. The light illuminating my path, but the power enabling me to live in this world. So trusting in the Spirit helps us find clarity and wisdom in our journey of faith. So now let's talk about the Trinity. In the Trinity, there is this belief that God is one essence, but distinct in person. So if we look at Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they are distinct from each other, but at the same time, they are completely united in the essence of who they are, their will, and their tasks. God has a life in which all members of the Trinity relate to each other, give to each other, and love each other, and that's what I want to look at next week. And it is the concept behind our creeds. We have the Nicene Creed, the Apostles' Creed. They affirm the essential unity of God, the complete humanity and essential divinity of Jesus, and the essential divinity of the Spirit. And we affirm this unity of all the three members of the Godhead. We worship and glorify the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So these three members of the Trinity, God the Father, or the parent if you prefer, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, are three unique individuals. I don't know how else to express that, but they're also part of God's master plan to restore our relationship with him. And that's why I want to look at that relationship next week. God is dynamic. God is beyond our understanding. And just as we told us, the wind comes from all directions. Sometimes God comes from all directions and we don't understand what's going on, but we have the Holy Spirit and we know God is love, Jesus is love, the Holy Spirit is love. So when I look at this and I look at what the Trinity is actually about, for me it's actually about a dynamic relationship in action, enabling us to be in relationship with God, with each other, with ourselves, and recognizing it's a new relationship of love that we're invited to. And God will guide us along this path, and it is for our own good. So for me, it's an invitation to this divine relationship, an invitation to join in the divine dance of love, and to delight in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And it is a personal invitation. This invitation is personal in nature. This relationship is about being in a personal relationship with God. As I said, next week I'll look at the three persons and the relationship, but for now let us remember how we are privileged to be invited into this relationship with the Trinity, how God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit has been given to you and I to guide us, to comfort us, to impart wisdom to us, to empower our lives, to renew, restore, and refresh us. I hope and pray that you have a wonderful week. I'm going to end quickly with the collect, or part of the collect for today, which goes, God of unchangeable power, you've revealed yourself to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Keep us firm in this faith that we may praise and bless your holy name. Let us praise and bless God's holy name this week. To wrap up, a happy day, and you said on the Mighty Heart 1027, thank you so much for listening. God bless.